This is Tammy Atman with The Stuck Stops Here. I'm going to read an email that I received from the Brahma Kumaris organization. There is a benefit for you in every situation, if, that is, you know how to look for it. The idea behind steady spiritual progress is to see every circumstance and situation, especially those that challenge you, as a tailor-made lesson in your personal plan for self-development. For example, in a situation where hurtful or angry words were exchanged, why not see it as a chance to either perceive things about your own character, which need changing, or to rehearse some virtue or quality that you need to put into practice more often? We should be grateful for the opportunity to evaluate ourselves. In this way, you can transform any experience or any situation into a constructive lesson. Never think you've learned enough and now can stop. Realize deeply the significance of every moment, and your spiritual progress will be assured. End quote. Part of my healing journey is fulfilling a recently discovered life purpose by reaching out to those in need of healing from emotional toxic abuse by parents and generational dysfunction. If you are sheltering in place, perhaps some of you would like to use this time of no distractions to acquire new coping strategies. If you are like how I used to be, a chaotic emotional firefighter addicted to busyness and outcomes, this quiet time may feel like torture. If you are craving an emotionally healthier life and experiencing a spiritual awakening, I hope these podcasts resonate. I try to cover a lot of ground in a direct way so you can heal in place and fill your still. Today's topic is anger. I'm going to start off with a quote. Anger is the punishment we give ourselves for someone else's mistake. End quote. From Unknown. I used to be angry most of the time. I have a mother, father, and stepfather with various personality disorders who frenetically switch back and forth from either being overly demanding or callously indifferent. I was set up for a life of no confidence, perpetual sadness masked by rage, and an addiction to results and outcomes. I carried terrible shame of coming from people who could not and did not give me the attention I needed and deserved, as all young children do. Throughout adulthood, the flashbacks and anxiety attacks never ended, and neither did questioning my ability to be a good mother. I was constantly in fear of not being strong enough to break the cycle of abuse. When you have a temper like the one I used to have, it's difficult to admit that there's a problem. I would go from 0 to 100 way too often. I would snap, freak out, feel guilty, and repeat that cycle. I was always a boiling kettle with nowhere for the steam to go. If a kettle has no way to release steam, it explodes, just like I used to. Looking back, I wish I had more self-control, but at the time, it seemed impossible to change. I saw my anger as a genetic flaw that I had to put up with, along with the negative consequences that followed my tantrums. I needed a healthy way to channel repressed emotions and heal the neglected inner child because, like steam, the childhood wounds were spilling out in self-destructive ways. Anger is a natural and automatic response to the pain of feeling rejected, threatened, or worthless. Anger is an attempt to control one's old world by attempting to control the actions of others. For me, anger was also a substitute emotion. I was chronically angry to avoid feeling pain. This changing of pain into anger for me was mostly unconscious and a very effective distraction, part of unconsciously and conveniently turning pain into anger, shifted attention away from me and projected it onto everyone and everything else. It was easier for me to get mad than grieve. I wasn't aware of it, but unconsciously I believed that if I allowed that grief to rise to the surface, I would drown. It is easy and familiar to focus on reacting and revenge instead of facing your pain and grief. Making yourself angry can help you hide the fact that you find a situation frightening or that you feel vulnerable. I struggled for years with both passive and active anger. Active anger is overt, such as screaming and throwing things. Passive anger is indirect and disguised. When I wasn't screaming, I hid behind irony, acid comments, and sarcasm. I was quite good at both overt and covert anger. I learned it very well from my broken parents. Unlike animals, humans need to emotionally attach to a loving parent. In order to establish a connection to a toxic parent, babies and young children learn to create a false identity in an attempt to please the toxic parent by being whatever it is that the toxic parent needs. This false self provides a sense of safety in a very confusing and destructive world. As we exit childhood into adulthood, this false self can lead to anxiety and depression. The false self was created in order to survive because the true self needs a loving parent to emerge. Not having an authentic connection to your parents or to your true self leads to repressed rage throughout adulthood and boils over in many destructive ways, such as compulsions, chronic anger, addictions, self-sabotage, poor decisions, and self-harm. The problem with toxic family patterns is that the cycle of emotional abuse never ends. The children become adults who see chronic anger, personality disorders, and compulsive behaviors as normal. We learn to ignore our grief by masking it with anger, and this continues for most of our lives, if not all of it, as well as negatively impacting the lives of the generations that follow, thus repeating the cycle. My entire family, going back over 100 years, chose anger over pain. I think that's long enough. Controlling my anger was an important skill that someone in my family needed to learn, and that someone was me. On my healing journey, I recognized they did all they could, as they were set up for failure. My father ran away, my stepdad emotionally abused everyone, and my mother controlled and manipulated. There are parents out there that did have to sacrifice and did suffer, but were able to avoid establishing toxic relationships with their children. My in-laws are a great example of that. They had tremendous challenges when they were growing up, but they don't take away their love as fast as they give it. They don't threaten to abandon their children, and they don't take their anger out on their children. They can handle important life events without punishing their children for their unhappiness. I learned from them, and I consider myself lucky to know them. I witnessed what rage and anger did to my parents, and in 2014, I decided that in order to survive, I had to take a different path. Over the past few years, I have learned to find things that I enjoy doing, which provide space for me to heal and develop emotionally healthier habits. I believe that activities that require a calm mental focus, such as art, music, writing, reading, sewing, and meditation, are productive activities. They are a quote-unquote timeout from busy experiences, and it is vital to healing. In addition, performing physical activities such as walking, biking, hiking, yoga, and any other forms of exercise that bring you joy are extremely helpful. Physical activity improves blood flow to the brain and lowers levels of stress hormones. This is Tammy Yatman with The Stuck Stops Here. I hope you are all healthy and safe during this pandemic. Thank you.